Thank you so much. Good morning, everyone. I want to make a very deep apology that I couldn't be here with you earlier. I was looking forward to that time. Been praying much over these things. Our brother Glenn, unknowns to him, could not have shared a more fitting scripture with you this morning. I'd like to ask you, before you turn to God's Word, can someone tell me what the first verse of Psalm 23 says? A little louder, please.
The Lord is my shepherd.
And so he is. Please turn to that wonderful portion. That wonderful portion of God's Word. And though it's very familiar, and that's actually my point this morning, let's take time to read it. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul, leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod, your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I should dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Our God, who wouldn't want to hear from such a God so great? Who wouldn't want to hear the words of life from such a one? So that's what we ask this morning. That through your wonderful Spirit, you'd please speak in our midst. We ask it in Christ's name. Amen. Now, folks, this is actually the first of a series of messages I've been working on this subject of the Lord as our shepherd, because that truth, though it's stated beautifully, wonderfully here, it isn't exclusive to Psalm 23. The subject of the Lord, our shepherd, is found throughout the Scriptures. Now, you and I know from reading the Bible that God has many names and titles and offices that are spoken throughout his word about him. And the reason for this, folks, is actually, it's simple, but it's profound. Our God is so big, you can't describe him with one word. He's too big to be described with just one word. And the Bible's full of names, titles, phrases, offices that God's hold, and what all of these do is they reveal him to us. Through these names, we get to know him. Through his works, he is manifest to us. All this is meant to draw our hearts out after him. To go through all the names and titles of God, folks, that's a study of a lifetime that's worthy of great, great reward. Hopefully, we're in the process of doing that. But here's what I want to ask. Of all the names, titles, phrases by which our God is known, and there are a great number, I would suggest to you this morning that this phrase, the Lord is my shepherd, is probably the most well-known and widely known of all of those, not only to us in church, but to the world in general. Probably our God is known more by more people by this phrase at the first of this psalm than by any other name or title that there is. Just a very quick side note to something interesting. Other so-called gods and deities are not referred to in this way. It is unique to our God. So if I'm correct, and believe me, I'm often so wrong, I wonder why I say that, but if I'm correct that what I've said is true, that of all the phrases of God, this is the most well-known and widely known, why is that then? Why is it that people are familiar with this phrase about God and hundreds of others we could mention, they'd say, oh, I never heard that before. How come they know this one? Well, the answer to that's kind of interesting. Folks, the thing that's made this phrase so popular, so well known, so widely known, it's the least likely and least welcome of all events. It's death and funerals. That's what's made this so popular. That's why so many people have heard this. Because there's been a lot of death and funerals in your lifetime and mine, hasn't there been? That's what's made this known. And folks, of all the scriptures that can and are preached at funerals, and I've preached quite a few of them, this psalm, even at the funerals of unsaved people, is still often quoted. So why is that? Why is that the case? We have a whole Bible of rich scriptures, but why is it this one that's mentioned? And folks, it's simply this. God is rightly spoken of here as no one else can be. And he's rightly spoken of here in this circumstance as no one else can be. Let me give you an illustration from the Gospels. You don't have to turn. Mark chapter 5, we know that constantly around the Lord Jesus was a large group of people. Rightly so. He healed so many. He fed them. He did wonders. He spoke truth. So there's always a huge crowd around him. That's nothing new. And on so many occasions, he speaks to a few or to one person. On this occasion in Mark 5, a leader comes forth, a prominent man named Jairus, falls right on his knees in front of Jesus, which people like that didn't do, and implored him. And he says, what? My little daughter's at the point of death, meaning she hasn't got much time. Come, lay your hands on her and heal her. He believed that if Jesus got there in time, he's someone who could reverse the condition she had. He could do something about that. But as I mentioned, there's a big crowd. And Jesus can't get quickly to this man's daughter. And if you're familiar with the story, you know that there was someone else in great need in that crowd. There was a woman who had an issue for years, and she believed, if I could just touch the edge of his clothes, just touch him, that's all I would need to be healed. And through that incredible crowd, she gets through, and she does, and she is healed. But that takes time. And what do we read next? After that wonderful miracle, someone comes up to Jairus and says, listen, don't trouble the master. Your child's dead. She's not at the point of death. She's there. She's died. Why bring him? But Jesus says, have faith and believe. So he goes to the house and he does something that no parent wants at that time. It says he took the parents and his followers into where the child was, where she was laying dead. And he said, I say to you, arise. You see, that's why this scripture is so precious this morning. That's why it's quoted at these times. The scripture says, Psalm 68, our God is a God of salvation. To our God belong the deliverances from even death. I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. Whosoever lives and believes in me will never die. I am he that liveth and was dead. I'm alive forevermore. That's why this scripture is so precious and so often quoted at these times. Look at verse 4, that famous verse. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, how is it that you and I could fear no evil? For you're with me. Your rod and staff, they comfort me. You see, folks, men confronted with the unavoidable reality of their own mortality, realizing too, and this is what you realize, that at that moment, every support you've ever known, family, friends, church, lawyers, pensions, nothing can help you at that point. All those supports are gone. And people who have all their lives sought to put that day out of their minds and realize at this point, I cannot put this out of my mind any longer. It's here, it's now. And they realize either to their everlasting comfort or misery that there is just one who can help at this time, and it's the Lord, our shepherd. That's who can. Now, why does David, who wrote this, why does he refer to God this way at this time? Let's be honest, you've read the Psalms. Sometimes David refers to God as my fortress, my rock, my deliverer, my buckler, and many other phrases. Psalm 90, Moses speaks of God as our dwelling place. All these things, as I mentioned, the names and titles, they're all full of wonderful meaning and blessing to God's people. But why does David do it here? Like, what does he mean by it? What comfort, what help does he draw from it? Well, it's actually very important to remember that David himself was a shepherd. He actually knew what shepherding entailed. When Samuel came to anoint Jesse's sons, and Jesse thought so little of David, didn't even bring him to the group, and Samuel looked them all over and says, "This isn't the Lord's anointed." And then Jesse says, "Well, there's one, the youngest, he's keeping the sheep." Keeping and shepherding, virtually the same word. It means to tend, to care, to nurture. God said of David, "I took you from the pasture, from following the sheep." So keeping and tending, it means to pasture, to graze, but it involves much. It means oversight, direction, nurture, protection, deliverance. All this is entailed in it. Remember what David said when he was about to fight Goliath, and Saul looks at him, Saul who was head and shoulders above everybody else. He's the big guy, and David's the little wee smallest brother, and he looks on him and says, "How are you going to fight Goliath who's 9 bigger than I am? How are you going to do that?" Listen to what David said. He knew what shepherding entailed. He says, "Your servant used to keep the sheep of his father. When a lion or bear came and took a lamb from the flock, I went after him, struck him, and delivered it out of his mouth." You see, David knew shepherding firsthand. He knew what the job entailed. And when David looked at the job he was doing, he saw a picture, a portrait of the way God cared for him and said, "The Lord's my shepherd." See, that's why this truth has been so dear to so many people, because it conveys God's care of his own. That's why this truth is so precious. And look what follows from it. "The Lord is my shepherd." What follows? "I shall not want. I shall not be in need. I won't be neglected. I won't be without. I have everything because the Lord's my shepherd." It's all on him, and he never fails. You convinced of that this morning? Are you convinced of that this morning? That the Lord doesn't fail? Listen to it. "He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul, leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil. You're with me. Your rod and staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me, even in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. I'll dwell in the house of the Lord forever." That's what it's like to have the shepherd in your life. That's what it's like. Turn to Psalm 121 for a moment. We'll look at a couple other portions. Is this really true? Like, is David just kind of wound up because, "Oh, I'm a shepherd, maybe God is too"? Is that what's going on? Psalm 121. One of the Psalms of Ascent. "I'll lift up my eyes to the hills. From where does my help come? My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth." Now listen, "He'll not let your foot be moved. He who keeps you," there's our word, "will not slumber. He who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is your keeper." Another way of saying, the Lord is your shepherd. "The Lord is your shade on your right hand. The sun shall not strike you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all evil. He will keep your life. The Lord will keep your going out and your coming in from this time forth and forever." Peter, speaking of our wonderful inheritance that's so great in glory that it doesn't fade and doesn't go away, then says, "We're kept to it by the power of God." But read our psalm again, the first couple of verses, verse 2 to 4. He makes me lie down in green pastures, leads me beside still waters, restores my soul, leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil, for you're with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Now, here's the question of all importance. Is this just real nice poetry, or is it real? Like, it sounds lovely, doesn't it? Green pastures, still waters. Like, it sounds wonderful. But is there anything to it? Is it just nice Hebrew poetry, or does God really, really do this? Turn to Psalm 116 this time. Psalm 116. It's only words unless it's true. Psalm 116. Hope you feel the same. I love the Lord because he's heard my voice and my pleas for mercy. Because he inclined his ear to me. Therefore, I'll call on him as long as I live. Now listen, is what is said in our psalm true or not? The snares of death encompassed me. Pangs of Sheol laid hold on me. I suffered distress and anguish. Then I called on the name of the Lord. O Lord, I pray, deliver my soul. Gracious is the Lord and righteous. Our God's merciful. The Lord preserves the simple. When I was brought low, he saved me. Listen, return, O my soul, to your rest, for the Lord has dealt bountifully with you. You've delivered my soul from death, my eyes from tears, my feet from stumbling. Therefore, I'll walk before the Lord in the land of the living. This isn't just nice poetry, folks. This is God's care of his people. But verse 4 is the big one. Even though, what's David saying? He's saying what you and I say today. Worst case scenario. It's one thing to miss a meal or something. This problem, that problem, have this little ache and pain. Perry and I were swapping bad parts as we were talking this morning. But that's not what we're talking about here. We're talking worst case scenario, the valley of the shadow of death. So what's David saying? Even though, even here, even now, even this, even where no one else can help me, even here, your care isn't lacking. It's a valley. It's dark. There's shadow. Death is before me. The evil's real. The fear is there. But even now, I'm not lacking. Why? Because you are with me. One old saint said, even death with all its gloom will not here find me destitute. That's what David's saying. Even in the worst case scenario, the final, the big one, even here I'm not without you. See, folks, that's what the Lord is my shepherd means. That's what you sang about this morning. That's what our brother quoted from Isaiah. This is what it means. This is what it conveys and confirms, that God is with me. Obvious question. How can I know? How can I know God's with me? Well, David tells us. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil, for you're with me. How do I know? The same way the sheep know I'm with them. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. The rod is for ruling. The staff is for correction and support. How did the sheep know that the shepherd was always with them? Well, he would prod them at times. And he, when they were wandering, he'd use the crook and bring them back. He would convey his presence. Now, folks, how can our God's care be so deep here, so wonderful, especially when sheep by nature and sinful people by nature wander, stray, and are defenseless? How can his care be so wonderful? Let's in verse 3. He leads me in paths of righteousness. It's beautiful. For his name's sake. Our great shepherd, folks, acts not according to the deserts of the sheep. I don't deserve the love of God. I don't deserve the mercy we sang about this morning. I deserve none of it. But he does it for his own name's sake. Listen to what you've been singing all these years. The protection of his child in treasure is a charge which on himself he laid. That's why we're cared for when we don't deserve it. But something else to think about. We can't talk lightly about this, and poetry isn't enough. This is the shadow of death, folks. This isn't Perry and I talking about parts that don't work. This is when we shut down. This is the shadow of death. Why have these things then been such a comfort to people even facing this? Why have they been? Someone with a lot more brains than me said this: the hardest experience in life is not suffering itself, it's loneliness and suffering. That's the hardest thing, loneliness and suffering. But folks, contrariwise to this, people have borne the absolute worst of things if they knew they weren't alone. This is where our hymns come from. I never walk alone. Christ walks beside me. Abide with me, nearer my God to thee. Now I belong to Jesus. It's because we're not alone even then. That's why this can be borne. Turn back a couple of pages. I want you to see that this isn't just nice poetry. Chapter 18 of the Psalm. David's just said in our psalm, even in the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil, you're with me. Is it true? Psalm 18, also written by David. What's he say? Verse 4. The cords of death encompassed me. Now, folks, if you've read the history of David, he said there was nothing but a step between me and death. He was hunted for his life by Saul. He isn't kidding. This is true. The cords of death encompassed me. The torrents of destruction assailed me. The cords of Sheol entangled me. The snares of death confronted me. Do you get it? He was scared to die. In my distress, I called upon the Lord. To my God, I cried for help. From his temple, he heard my voice, and my cry to him reached his ears. Verse 16, and you sang this morning. He sent from on high. You sang it. He took me. He drew me out of many waters. He rescued me from my strong enemy, from those who hated me. They were too mighty for me. They confronted me in the day of my calamity, but the Lord was my support. He brought me into a broad place. He rescued me. This is rather amazing, because he delighted in me. Psalm 75, when the earth totters and all its inhabitants, kind of sounds like our political world today, it is you who keep steady its pillars. You see, folks, this is what the Lord is my shepherd conveys. Even though, even here, even now, even this, I will not fear, for thou art with me. Folks, God's shepherdly care is regardless of circumstance. Any circumstance. All circumstances. Read the last few verses of Romans chapter 8. Paul lists them all, including the big one. He says they cannot separate us from the love of God in Christ. Verse 5. Interesting verse. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Now that's the kind of thing you think, if God was keeping me, hey, he wouldn't do that. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. The first part, you prepare a table for me, simply means that I can't actually be plotted or ambushed, because the Lord prepares me. I can't be waylaid. Nothing's going to happen outside of his hand, because he actually prepares me. But then the one part of the psalm that makes no sense to most of us is this. You anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows. Now, what's that mean? Let's be honest, it doesn't mean anything to any of us. We don't know what's going on there. But you know something? This is actually a very, very, very beautiful truth. In Eastern culture, if I came to your house, you would pour oil over me. That was a way of showing that I was loved and welcomed and you were glad I was there. And then you would give me a cup of wine and you would pour it till it overflowed the cup. That was to show me that there was no lack of abundance in your house. Isn't that beautiful? You anoint my head with oil. You show me love and kindness and welcome. And you show me by the cup overflowing my hand that there's no lack of abundance and blessing in the hand of God. Now, is that true? Again, sounds real nice. Is it true? Listen to what Paul said. Philippians chapter 4, Paul is mentioning there that he has at times suffered want. He's had troubles. He lists many of them in his writings. Listen to what he says. I've received full payment and more. I'm well supplied. What's Paul saying? I'm not in want. My cup overflows. Even though he'd known difficulties. But folks, this wonderful truth that we've sang and considered this morning, it isn't just great because of where it finds us and how it helps us. I hope I've explained that those are wonderful things in the hand of God. It's wonderful where it finds me and how it helps us, but there's something even more. It isn't great just for those reasons. This is a great truth because of where it's taking us. Verse 6. Surely, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. You see, folks, our God's shepherdly care doesn't terminate when we're done. It's not over then. It isn't great just for how it helps us now, but for where it's taking us. I said this was a series of messages, and the last one, if you'll turn, goes to John 10, which couldn't be left out in discussing this wonderful truth. John chapter 10. How could we leave this out? John 10 and verse 7, I said there's many names and titles of our God. Here's some more. So Jesus said to them, truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep didn't listen to them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved, will go in and out and find pasture. This thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. I'm the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. Are you included in this? Verse 16, I have other sheep, not of this fold. I must bring them also. They will listen to my voice. There'll be one flock, one shepherd. Verse 27, my sheep hear my voice, I know them, they follow me, I give them eternal life. They'll never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father who's given to me is greater than all. No one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. What does the Good Shepherd give us? Abundant and eternal life. Exactly. What David said thousands of years before of the Lord is my shepherd. But you notice how he began that verse? The word surely, and that's not your sister, surely as written here means certainly, securely, and safely. So certainly, absolutely certain, no question, securely, nothing can happen to it, safely, it'll happen to you. Goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. And I'll dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Do you know what it means to dwell? It's beautiful. It means to sit down in quiet. Doesn't that sound nice? Boy, I look forward to that day. Psalm 5 says, but I, through the abundance of your steadfast love, I'm going to enter your house. Psalm 91, he who dwells in the shadow of the Most High will abide under the shade of the Almighty. I'll say to the Lord, my refuge, my fortress, my God, in whom I trust. See, folks, what we're speaking of here is what the old Puritan Richard Baxter called the saints' everlasting rest. I hope you've read that. See, folks, this is the place where the sheep don't wander anymore. And they never lack for all eternity. And they see the shepherd face to face. Now, folks, I mentioned this truth is throughout the scriptures. And we actually have a very, very beautiful benediction that speaks of this. It's in Hebrews. You don't have to turn to it. But please listen. Now may the God of peace, who brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep. Now, do you know what that means before we go further? The shepherd's still here. See, he was brought again from the dead. Every wonderful truth we've considered about the Lord our shepherd this morning is still real and true and active and blessed this moment because he's risen from the dead. Now, may the God of peace, who brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep by the blood of the eternal covenant, equip you with everything you shall not want. Equip you with everything good that you may do his will, working in us that which is pleasing in his sight through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Let's pray. How could we begin to thank you, Father? The old hymn says, what language shall I borrow to thank thee, dearest friend? How can we be so blessed? Father, the scripture hasn't just pictured the shepherd this morning. It's pictured us, the sheep, who constantly wander, who need daily, moment by moment, tending, keeping, protection, correction, direction, the whole bit. We need it every day, every moment, every hour. Could we be more blessed on this planet than to have the Lord as our shepherd? Obviously, Father, this isn't church. This isn't religion. This is new life in Christ, for which we could never begin in 1,000 years to thank you enough. Thank you for the unspeakable gift of your love and grace. Thank you for your care and keeping of your people. It is a charge which on yourself you laid. And we couldn't be more blessed. And we can't miss our eternal home. So we praise you this day in Christ's name. Amen.